It's more of like Maria and I holding people's hands, taking them to step one, then showing them step two, then showing them step three. So I think it's a guide. It's a blueprint to your best life.
So some doctors will even call it like the brain of the body. And when you start knowing how to speak to your immune system, you can start changing stuff around in your body.
And it wasn't until I had my daughter that everything clicked. It was like, I have this baby. I have to be responsible to her. I'm going to break this chain. Like, I felt like it was my responsibility to break that familiar chain of food and overeating. And that's why I started on my journey.
In the beginning, I was sending pictures of myself in underwear, like not probably the freshest underwear, also like my C-section. And my husband was like, where do these pictures go? They go to a woman I've never met in Canada.
Hej och välkomna till Hälsorevolutionen. Vi ska idag göra en alldeles speciell podd. Tillsammans med dig Maria, of course, men också med din författarpartner Rita Catalino. Och det som händer just nu, det är ju att ni i dagarna släpper er nya fantastiska bok.
Ja, spännande.
Hälsorevolutionen, 12 veckors program.
Ja.
Och den kommer ju för att allting började med dina tidigare hälsoböcker som också ledde till den här podden.
Ja.
Så,
och du har varit med på hela resan.
Ja, jag har haft förmånen att varit förläggare för Hälsorevolutionen och för Bliss och för Förundran.
Hela antiinflammatoriet. Ja. Jag kom traskande till dig med ett manus som faktiskt inget annat bokförlag riktigt ville ha. Och jag hade väl liksom, det var lite spretigt i tankarna och du hjälpte mig att få ihop den här märkliga berättelsen om resan jag hade varit med om.
Helt fantastisk resa som nu fortsätter.
Ja!
Med din fjärde hälsobok som då är förstärkt av Rita, din supertränare. Så, och ni ska ju få berätta tillsammans om ert möte och hur ni började samarbeta på olika sätt. När var det ni träffades första gången?
Ja, jag började ju jobba med Rita av en ren slump. Jag hade passerat en flygplats, jag hade ett jobb där jag reste mycket och var i Washington DC på en flygplats och där låg en bok med en amerikansk fitnessprofil som heter Tosca Reno. Och jag plockade upp den här, hon var ungefär min ålder och hon såg betydligt alertare ut än vad jag kände mig. Och bara kände, men det där behöver jag nog lite mer av mitt liv. Så jag plockade upp den här och började följa henne på sociala medier. Och så dog Tosca Renos man i cancer. Och allting fick liksom en väldigt dramatik och hon bestämde sig för att ställa upp i en fitnesstävling för att hedra sin man. Och så tog hon in en tränare. Och så började de två blogga ihop och den här tränaren hette Rita Catalino. Och jag följde ju det här, jag var liksom helt, plötsligt var helt inne i den här berättelsen om vad som hände i den här familjen. Det var i Kanada, jag hade aldrig varit i Kanada eller någon gång tidigare, länge sedan. Och sen började jag läsa vad den här tränaren skrev. Och så tänkte jag, men gud, hon kanske kan hjälpa mig. Och jag hade ju ont i ryggen som jag berättat om tidigare, kände mig väldigt grå. I huvudet, hade ganska rejäl valk runt magen och så kallad muffintopp. Och ja, var verkligen, mådde inte bra så här i 51-52 års åldern. Så jag skrev ett brev till Rita och sa, ja, här sitter jag med mina celluliter. Vill du hjälpa mig? Och jag tänkte, hon kommer aldrig säga ja till det. För hon tränar ju bara jätteproffsiga personer.
Trodde jag.
Men där började det.
Ja.
Ja, och efter bara några veckor på hennes program så var jag ju, ta i tre, av med alla symptom. Så var ju det här som var början på min resa.
Ja, så kom du euforisk till mig. Vi träffades på ett av Bonnier förlagens kontor. Och du verkligen bara strålade. Och ja, det var några förläggare innan som inte hade fattat grejen.
Nej.
Det var ju du var liksom att tänka. Liksom bara, men ni måste fatta för det här är så fantastiskt. Ja. Du var i det där
Frälsarmodet,
exakt. Ja. Vi ska säga också att när vi spelar in detta så är det mitt i den varmaste, ljusaste svenska sommaren. Vi befinner oss här i ditt vackra sommarhus i Skåne. Det är ljus tända. Det är...
det har varit regn, så det är lite så här fuktig.
Nästan lite höstkänsla.
Ja, lite höstkänsla är det idag. Och marken behövde den här fukten. Och jag har ritat på besök med hela sin familj. Och hon har kommit från Kanada och vi har jobbat med de sista detaljerna till boken. Ja. Alla fantastiska bilder och YouTube-videos. Så det är
så
jättespännande. Ska vi introducera?
Ja, men det gör vi. Ja.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vi är glada för att ha ett betalt samarbete med Husk Mage i balans. Är du en av alla som upplever att du har en stökig mage ibland? Det finns mycket som man kan göra för att stötta sin maghälsa och ett sätt är att se till att få i sig mer fibrer. Eller hur, Maria?
Ja, Husk är ett kosttillskott som är gjort av psylliumfröskal och de har ett högt innehåll av fibrer, bidrar till normal matsmältning och en normalt fungerande tarmfunktion, både vid lös och hård mage. Och många av oss får i sig för lite fibrer och förutom att se över sin kost så kan man komplettera kosten med ett fiberrikt tillskott som till exempel Husk Mage i balans.
Husk Mage i balans finns i 3 varianter. Husk Mage i balans Classic, Husk Mage i balans mjölksyra bakterier och så nyheten Husk Mage i balans jordgubb. Husk Mage i balans jordgubb innehåller psylliumfröskal och krispiga jordgubbsflingor för en god smak.
Ja, Husk Mage i balans innehåller psylliumfröskal som bildar en gel i tarmen och binder vatten. Psylliumfröskal suger upp minst 40 gånger sin egen vikt och förvandlas till en geléaktig massa som ger mage och tarm något att jobba med. Och genom att avföringen får ökad volym så blir den mjukare om man är hård i magen. Är man lös i magen gör gelen att avföringen blir fastare och därför upplever många att Husk Mage i balans kan lindra besvär med både lös och hård mage.
Det är enkelt att göra Husk Mage i balans till en del av din vardag. Kosttillskottet kommer i pulverform och du kan enkelt strö över det över kalla rätter som exempelvis yoghurt, blanda ner i smoothies eller juice eller vatten. Och kom ihåg att kosttillskott inte bör ersätta en varierad kost. Det är viktigt med en balanserad kost och en hälsosam livsstil. Husk Mage i balans finns att köpa på apotek. Läs gärna mer på www.maghälsa.se. Den här veckan så fortsätter vi vårt roliga sponsrade samarbete med Skinome, färsk hudvård. Produkter helt utan konserveringsmedel och andra onödiga tillsatser. Det här är ett svenskt hudvårdsföretag grundat av hudforskaren Dr. Johanna Gillbro. Och idag ska vi fortsätta prata om Skinomes innovativa solskyddsprodukter, eller hur, Maria?
Ja, vi gillar ju båda att njuta av solen, liksom de flesta svenskarna. Solen är ju inte bara en källa till glädje och värme och ljus. Den är ju också vår främsta naturliga källa till D-vitamin och det mår vi ju bra av. Och som alla vet kan för mycket solexponering medföra risker på grund av solens ultravioletta strålar, det vi kallar UV-strålning. Vi vet hur viktigt det är att skydda huden på bästa sätt. Och både Carina och jag har börjat använda Skinoms solskydd Sanne Malschen.
Ja, vår sponsor Skinom erbjuder två solskydd med olika solskyddsfaktor. Dels Sun Emulsion SPF 50+, och så den senaste nyheten, Sun Emulsion SPF 30. Och båda de här ansiktsprodukterna går att använda som enda dagkräm om man vill, då de också innehåller både vårdande och återfuktande ingredienser samt prebiotika som stärker ditt mikrobiom.
Tänk på att applicera rikligt med solkräm just i ansiktet. Förutom att stärka skyddet mot cancer så kan du också minska risken för UV-inducerade ålderstecken. Och då talar vi om rynkor, pigmentfläckar och brustna blodkärl. Skinoms senaste nyhet, Sun Emulsion Solskyddsfaktor 30, innehåller också en innovativ ingrediens från den svenska västkusten. Vi talar om algika som tillverkas just av alger. Studier visar att algika förstärker den solskyddande effekten av UV-filter och skyddar huden mot miljörelaterade luftföroreningar.
Ja, det här är innovativt. Skinoms solkrämer passar både barn och vuxna, även de med känslig hud. Om du blir osäker på om du ska ha solskyddsfaktor 50 eller 30 så kan du gå in på Skinoms hemsida och göra deras solskyddstest. Just nu så kan du prova Skinoms solskydd och övriga hudvårdsprodukter extra förmånligt. Med koden Hälsorevolutionen 20 så får du 20% rabatt under april månad. Rabatten gäller inte på redan nedsatta varor. Gå in på skinom.com och beställ den nya generationen solskydd.
Maria, please introduce our special, special guest all the way from Canada, your co-writer and personal trainer, Rita Catolino.
How shall I describe you, Rita? You are a dynamo. You are wise beyond your years. You are super warm, super empathetic, a go-getter, but you also understand how to listen and how to kind of get the situation in a room. And it's been a fantastic thing working with you here. Mm. It is a fantastic thing. And we kind of, just when it's right, it's light. When it's right, it's light. It's light with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. When you guys were talking in Swedish, I didn't understand anything, but when Carina started laughing, I thought, I bet you said she sent me pictures in her underwear.
No.
She didn't. Oh, my God.
That's what I thought she said.
I've heard about that before.
Okay. I had to do that in the beginning. I was sending pictures of myself in underwear, like not probably the freshest underwear, also like my C-section. And my husband was like, where do these pictures go? They go to a woman I've never met in Canada. Are you sure this is not like the code word for some kind of man? Wow. I say, why would they even want to look at me? I said, you know.
No.
It's such a pleasure to sit here with you. I'm going to talk to you about your new amazing book, Hälsorevolutionen, 12 veckors programmet. But first, Rita, please introduce our star author, science journalist and podcast host, Maria Borelius. What was your first impression of Maria when
when she sent me her underwear pictures?
This woman needs a good program.
No. To be honest, I was like, why does she need me? She looks great. So there's two impressions with Maria, because the first one is online, right? So you only get to meet and understand somebody so much in a relationship that happens online. But she was a very open student, so that I loved. You know, if you are, the number one thing you ask from anybody in life is that they're open, and Maria was open. You know, she was never defensive, or she came to me for help and she was open to that help. So every time she would explain a situation, I would offer some advice or some empathy, she took that and then she made it her own, right? Maybe she didn't take exactly what I said, but she made it her own. So it showed that she was open and intelligent. Mm. And so we created a relationship, you know, obviously at the beginning, you know, mentor student, but it ended up kind of changing like things do and transforming over the years. It's been 8 years. And then I got to meet Marie in person. she found out I was in Spain 1 year and she said, oh, I'm going to come see you, mm-hmm. you know? And I said, sure. Mm. So she flies over from Sweden and we, or England.
So England. Yeah.
And we found a gym and we trained together.
And that was like one of the craziest things I've ever done. I found like a Ryanair super cheap ticket. And when I was sitting, I was like, what am I doing here? I've never done anything like this, you know, why? But I just felt I had to go and see.
Yeah. And I think that was the start of, you know, everything I've done with Maria and everything, I think, is just like, what am I doing? Just do it. You know, like you shove the fear monkeys out of your head, the logistical brain that says, don't do that. You just do it. With Maria, you just do it. You just jump and you do it. And I remember meeting her and looking up at this, you know, I knew she was a science journalist. I've seen pictures of her, but when you're in Maria's presence, it's like she has an omnipresence. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God. Like, first of all, she's beautiful and tall, but, and her posture and, but she just, you demand, shines. You shine, but you demand people's attention and not in a way of like, here I am, look at me, but in a quiet way, you know? And I remember her looking in my eyes when I talked, and so many people don't look in your eyes when you speak. They're distracted, but Maria has no distractions. When she's with you, she's with you, you know? True. So she just, she sees through you. She sees inside of you. So that was beautiful and refreshing. And she's everything and more. So that was my first impression of Maria in person. Yeah.
So also, I felt a bit intimidated by you because also, you know, I've never been a woman who has like felt I was very beautiful or anything. I've always felt like my arena was being smart when I was young. Do you see what I mean? So my grandfather, he had two granddaughters and my other cousin was a model for Eileen Ford. Mm. So he would come with us and say, here is Maria, my smart granddaughter. And here is Eva.
My beautiful.
My beautiful. And I would feel ugly and she would feel stupid. She's not at all stupid.
Right.
She's super smart and you know, I'm okay. So, but do you see what I mean? Like these, the narratives, they stick and you get arenas and you get etiquettes and stupid. We label ourselves. Anyhow, so I felt a bit daunted by being with this fitness cover person. And, you know, that's not why I was attracted to you. It was because of what you were writing when you were training with Tosca. I felt I like her soul. I like the way she looks at the world. I like the way she looks at food, at training, the whole philosophy. That's what attracted. That was magnetic for me.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah.
So you've been on this transforming journey together also. You are such a power couple. I feel very honored to just sit here with you two gather your energy, which I need, and your strength, which I need a lot of. And this is your first book together. Together you have created this amazing program, 12-veckorsprogrammet.
12-week program.
12-week program, Health Revolution 12-week program. Tell me when you decided to write a book together.
So what was happening after Health Revolution came out, which has now sold a lot, is that of the many, many women I met, they were like, so what did you exactly do? How do I exactly start this journey? Could you coach me? And I'm not a coach. And I was starting to think, but Rita is a fantastic coach. And you also got a lot of Swedish clients after Health Revolution came.
I do.
You do. You still have. And we were starting to discuss, you know, if we could kind of, because you have a lot of health books that are out there that are written by sort of fitness coaches that can be very good in that sector. And then you have more of the science, medical health journal stories. But we were starting to think we could produce like a very comprehensive health Bible, bringing together your, Rita, your fantastic experiences of people's real lives. What are the struggles? How can they overcome them? What are the different strategies? With like I'm a biologist, a trained science journalist, and me going through all the science, which I've been doing for 8 years, and I'm passionate about that. But also the fact that, shit, I've done the program, I've done the work, and you are living through this lifestyle. So we thought we could really add value to people with having a totally new approach to a comprehensive 12-week program. And also, you had been doing a lot of 12-week programs with people.
Why 12 weeks?
Well, they say it takes 90 days to form a habit, which is 12 weeks. And the point of creating the habit, so it takes 12 weeks to create a habit, 90 days. And then you're goal is that that person continues with that lifestyle. Most people do because it's habit forming, right? So they've created the habit already. And that's not to say people don't continue to train with you or follow this program. It becomes like brushing your teeth. It becomes more innate, intrinsic, instead of, oh, I have to, right, I got to stop and I got to think. It becomes second nature. So I think that that 12-week time is enough to move through different phases of training, encounter different situations and roadblocks that will continue to happen, have the tools in your toolbox and sharpen those tools. And so that you remember, all right, this is what I do. This is what I do. I think that 12 weeks is it's not too long. You know, it's not like the year program. I can't dedicate my time to a year. But then when you do 12 weeks, you realize that this will be the rest of your life. So we decided to write this book, just like Maria said, to offer people like a step-by-step guide. You know, her other books are amazing, and they're storytelling and they give good recipes. But like she said, where do I start? So it's more of like Maria and I holding people's hands, taking them to step one, then showing them step two, then showing them step three. So I think it's a guide. It's a blueprint to your best life. I think why it's so innovative, like she said, you have this scientist who's giving you the why. You know, like I've talked about before, if you don't know the why, you don't do it.
And there's a lot of new research.
Why do I drink water?
Also, I think at least my brain works that way. If I understand the why, so I understand why is protein important, then I don't need the exact recipe for the breakfast. Right. Because people will be like, this is what I should have as a breakfast. But then you don't have that egg at home. If you know the why, you can improvise. You can become creative. You become the master because you understand the reason behind it. I think it gives people liberty to do it in their own way.
And it also makes them want to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you tell a little kid, you know, don't touch the hot iron. They're going to touch the hot iron. But when they know that touching the hot iron creates a burn and pain, they don't touch that anymore. So when you know that eating more protein makes you feel better and more satiated and, oh, it's going to help with my muscle mass, when you know why, then you do it liberally. You don't do it because a coach told me to do it. Because she told me to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So the why. So Maria really gives the why. And then I give the action, the tangible steps. And together,
the how.
And so together, I think, first of all, it's just a beautiful compliment. And then we're giving all of the areas of fitness. And I think the most important thing that we both believe and we both talk about, it's not about what we're expecting people to take away. It's not about skinny and it's not about less. It's about more. Like Maria likes that word, and she that's the way her brain works, more. So more protein, more weightlifting, more energy, more stillness, more sleep,
and more
a
life.
Better you, more life. More life. Whereas a lot of programs I've read and books I've read is about taking away, taking away. The
so
emphasis
boring.
In the right is like, yeah, take this away, take that away, lose weight on the scale, your ticket to skinny or right. No, that's not what women want.
The book starts with you asking the readers to picture the feeling of a perfect Sunday morning, the goal of having that feeling more often. And tell me about that dream goal. How can you describe it?
Well, so what I am describing there is a really de-inflamed you. So inflammation affects our mood, and that's going to be the first effect of this program. You're going to feel so much better in your brain. But when you have slept really well in a night, you wake up very de-inflamed because sleep lowers inflammation, and you wake up feeling great. And the program can give you that feeling more often, not only the Sunday morning when you've slept really well and went to bed early and didn't have too much wine, but like on an everyday basis. And I felt that when I'm out speaking and start with that image, everyone knows what that feels like. It's like, you know what it feels like to have clean teeth. You know what that fresh feeling feels like. So I wanted people to imagine that you could actually attain that feeling within yourself more often. So that's why we use that as a picture. And that's one of the benefits of this program. When I started training with Rita, that was the first, before noticing any pain reduction in body, it was just after like a couple of days, shit, I feel great. And after like 2 months, I was like, am I 22 again? You know, is it just because it's spring or what is this?
Am I dreaming?
I'm having like a fountain in my brain instead of the fog I used to have before.
They say you don't know how bad you feel until you feel good.
Oh,
so people true. Live in these bodies that are broken down and inflamed and they tired. Think that that's just life. Mm. I'm aged. Mm. This is part of life's process when natural. Nobody yeah. questions that, right?
Yeah. Mm. I think it's like once you have started brushing your teeth really well, exactly. you know what that clean mouth feels yeah. like. And we want to get back to that.
In the beginning of the book, we also introduce Hippocrates, the ancient father of inner medicine. Mm. Tell us about him, Maria.
So what I think is important, he's called the father of medicine. So he was like the first doctor in the Western world. Mm. He lives 300 to 400 before Christ in Greece. Mm. And I have been to see his temple that was dedicated to the god Asclepion. And what I think is so interesting with him is that before Western medicine became so narrowly focused, either, you know, on the feet, on the fetus, on the eye, on the ear, it was very holistic. Mm. And his temple, the first hospitals that he built, they had rooms for surgery, they had rooms for making medicine, they had sport arenas where you would always exercise. They had theaters. Why were theaters good? Because actors could show up various human dilemmas. You could identify with them and discuss your own emotions. They had temples because spiritual practice was part of the whole ritual. So it was a very, very holistic way of approaching health. Mm. And I think we have lost something in the Western world, the way we look at health. I mean, having a concrete diagnosis, you know, if you got heart disease, Western medicine is fantastic at helping you. If you got trauma, you've been in a car accident, there's nowhere better to go. But this general decline that we are feeling in our bodies, tiredness, sluggishness, digestive problems, sleep issues, Western medicine stands actually questioning. We don't get much help from doctors, maybe than just a small pill. Mm. I think Hippocrates understood that. It was all about the holistic understanding of the human being. And I think we want to expand our thinking. So we're not talking about established disease in this book, because that you should go to your doctor. But we're talking about the general sense of unease, of feeling tired, of feeling sluggish, of feeling maybe, oh, was that the best life? I've already had that. Mm. Could there be something more for me in life? Mm. And I have been inspired by Hippocrates, and I felt the first time I came to his temple, so there is a secret hidden here. And there was also a secret, because underneath there was like a tunnel, and we don't know why the tunnels are there, but it was like a ritual passage probably that you went to before going home. So you had come as a sick person, you would go in the tunnel, you would come up the other side as something else. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. There was an understanding of the passage and how we need that and how we need these rituals to kind of bring us to a new place. Mm. That's why I bring the guy in. And he also said, you know, let food, we have that as a quote in the book.
Be thy medicine.
Yeah, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. Mm. And Western doctors have had a very hard time acknowledging that. Mm. Now, with the explosion in the understanding of the gut microbiome, of course, we're starting to see that he didn't know how right he was, but we're starting to see that.
We love him already.
Yeah, we love him. We love the guy. We love the guy.
So for you, everything started when you hit,
rock bottom.
Yeah. Life sucked. And
I was walking with crutches, you know, some days. Yeah.
And as you told us, you found Rita's method online and started this new health revolution journey. Rita, you come from a family where gym is not the natural place. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, well, I was raised in a immigrant Italian house. So in Canada, my dad immigrated from Italy. And the emphasis and importance in our household growing up was maintaining that culture, food, family values, morals, you know, cooking together. And he came from scarcity. So he came from, you know, food stamps and lining up and sharing an orange with his three brothers. And that was dessert at Christmas, you know. So he came from such scarcity that for him and coming to Canada and having all of this new abundance, was his gift to his family. So it was eat more. Like we would have to eat 2 to 3 plates of pasta because that made him happy. Because that was the opposite of what he had to go through. And I don't blame my father. It's just an observation. But that was the way I was raised. We were never taught about moving our body, health foods, like the exact opposite of everything I do. Unfortunately for my mother and for my sister, and I watched my mom struggle my entire life. She was this amazing, my mother's an amazing woman, businesswoman, family woman, everything, but she had a demon, a skeleton, which was her weight and the way she looked at herself, the way she moved her body. She's gone, you know, when her mother died, she was pretty young, and that was a very traumatic experience, and the weight just kept piling on and piling on and piling on. And I watched her. I remember being super young and the cabbage soup diet and the this diet and that. She tried it all only to yo-yo and gain another extra 10 and another extra 10 and another extra 10. And I remember thinking, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't want that. Like at a really young age, I remembered that, you know. And then I remember sitting in grade 8 and I was going in the same path. Because one thing is what you don't want, and then you don't have the tools at such a young age. And the only tools I have are the 4 people around me, which is my family. So I continued in this path, right? And so I started to gain weight and kind of wear overalls, and humor was my defense mechanism. So I made everybody laugh and I thought, this is cool. I'm the funny girl, right? And that was my role in life. And I kind of accepted it. And the weight just kind of kept piling on and piling on. And it wasn't until I had my daughter that everything clicked. It was I have this baby. I have to be responsible to her. I'm going to break this chain. Like I felt like it was my responsibility to break that familiar chain of food and overeating. And that's why I started on my journey.
I just need to mention you have a beautiful necklace, Mama necklace.
Yeah.
And I've been looking at this the whole day here, because I started a magazine called Mama, and we had almost the same logo.
Really?
It's meant to be. I'm going to show you later. So the gym became your second home, and you aimed for the stars. It wasn't enough just to go to the gym for yourself, or why?
You don't know me enough, Karina. I'm super ambitious and I always was, right? So you want to be in that play? Well, no, I wanted to be in the front row. You wanted this? No, I wanted to be on stage. And so I started training and it was good. It was good, but I wanted more. And I remember seeing this girl's body in the weight room, and I was doing more lightweights, cardio, you know, and I saw this girl and her body was like a statue from Greece, you know, and I said, I want that. So I went up to her and she's, you know, this is what I do and this is the protein. You have to lift heavy and you have to do that. And so I was like, okay, I'm doing this. I created a plan. I bought a book. I read everything. I started being a sponge. I just went online. I was like, it was obsessive, right? It was obsessive. And I slowly, people would say, wow, what did you do? What are you doing? And you should do a fitness show. And I said, what's that? And sure, I'll do one. And I placed last. It was like 20 out of 20, which most people would say, okay, I tried it. But for me, it was like, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better next time, which led to another obsession, 17 shows in 7 years, which most people do 2 in their life. So it became, you know, because I always wanted to do better than the time before. And I'm my own worst, you know, it wasn't about being better than her or her. It was about, I can do better than the last time.
So it became like an addiction almost, or what happened?
A healthy addiction.
Healthy addiction.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maria, we have talked about this before. This program is all about lower inflammation. Why is that so important?
So we have good inflammation in the body. It's a healthy response to trauma, to virus, to bacteria. If you have a wasp sting you, or if you cut your hand, you will get red, you will get swollen, and that'll be achy. That inflammation has a beginning, a peak, and an end. That's a healing mechanism for the body. So we like that inflammation. Hooray, applaud. So what I'm talking about is something else. It's the same inflammatory response to something foreign. That can be the wrong foods we eat, that can be environmental toxins, but that can also be a response to aging. It can be a response to actually sitting still, causes inflammation. So that inflammation has a beginning. It has the same pre-inflammatory markers. We call them cytokines. But it kind of doesn't peak. It's sort of that sub-pain threshold. And it lingers and it lingers. It goes on, never goes down. Mm. And by some kind of mechanism, one doesn't really exactly understand why, but that will let through and increase the risk of disease. Mm. And what that is depends a little bit on what you have in your genes. And we don't know that. Mm-hmm. For some people, it can be the stomach problems. Mm-hmm. For some people, it can be the whole cardiovascular thing. For some people, like me, it is the joint things that creep up. Mm-hmm. For some people, it's the mental issues. It can be many of these things. And it's so bad that a review from Harvard Medical School just stated that 3 out of 5 deaths, 60% in Western world is caused by inflammation or linked to inflammation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, and a lot of the cancers are linked to inflammation too. We cannot avoid all inflammation. We should not avoid the acute inflammation because we need that. If we have an infection, we need to get repaired the tissues. Mm. We like that. Mm. But we should keep this chronic systemic inflammation as low as we can. Mm. We cannot avoid when it comes through aging because we all age. It's natural. But we can avoid other things. Mm. So, you know, moving around. Mm. Lowers inflammation, eating well lowers inflammation, chronic stress increases inflammation. Mm. So the whole program is about choosing the type of foods that will lower inflammation and that will not boost inflammation. It's around exercise because muscle in themselves speak to the immune system. And that is totally new research. So the main benefit of training your muscle and increasing your muscle volume is that you will have a very active conversation with the immune system to lower that inflammation. Mm-hmm. It'll make you look good, but also feel good through that inflammatory mechanism. Mm-hmm. So the muscles speak to your brain via the immune system. The reason you feel good after the exercise is you go, muscle exercise, lowering inflammation in the immune system, conversation with the brain, and change of signal substances.
This is so cool.
Yeah, so the immune system is super cool because it's one of the organs that is not in one place. Mm-hmm. Like the knees here, you know, the liver will be here. I have my mouth here, but the immune system is everywhere. Mm. So some doctors will even call it like the brain of the body. Mm-hmm. And when you start knowing how to speak to your immune system, you can start changing stuff around in your body.
Yeah, and we will dig deep into this program. We will not tell everything about it because, of course, this is a podcast episode to encourage you to look closer to the book because there you get everything. But we want you to feel inspired. Before we start to look at this program, it has 4 different parts. I just want to mention that through the book, you have shared your tough challenges and there's a lot of humor also. Mm-hmm. I mean, you laugh a lot when you read and we are used to that when it comes to your books, Maria. That
Rita has a very active chimp, I call it. We gave her a name too.
Lola.
We can hold your hands and then feel very inspired all the way. And as we know, I know a lot about it. This year, life is a roller coaster. Mm. You have shared a lot in this book. When did life hit you the most and how has exercise helped you?
Well, I mean, I think this whole lifestyle, you know, once I discovered it, has been fantastic, you know, in helping me to cope. I change it when I'm very stressed and tired. But I know which buttons to push in myself. Do you see what I mean? So I can kind of be my strongest self. So when my mother died 6 years ago in the summer, I was, of course, very heavy. And it was, for various emotional reasons, tricky for me to navigate and go through. I knew my techniques. I knew my stillness, the meditation. I knew my weights, they would help me. I knew that sugar would fix things for like 10 minutes, but for 24 hours, no. Other types of food would help me to dig deeper into my veggies and my spices and my protein and my good fats. So it solidifies me in navigating. And I mean, I don't have an easy life. I've got 4 kids. And when you have that, there's always something with someone of them. And you know, grief is the price we pay for love, and worry is the price we pay for love. And I'm a person who tends to worry when there is something. And I know that I find balance in these techniques and my inner strength. And before these techniques, I was on a much more of a roller coaster emotionally. I would be like, oh, God, it was so overwhelming. I didn't know where to go with myself when I was stressed. I mean, I've gone through a lot of shitty things in my life. And I would be, you know, I could be for days just on the roller coaster emotionally, overeating or not eating or just lying in the bed. I would be paralyzed, wanting to isolate myself. You know, there are certain birds, when they fly, they know how to really quickly stabilize themselves in the wind. So the wind comes to all of us, and certain birds will just become extremely instable for a long time, and other birds will know how to readjust themselves in that strong wind. So I think these techniques help my bird to stabilize more quickly. It's not that the winds don't come, it's just that the bird kind of knows how to be more of a glider.
That's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Yeah,
yeah. I love that.
And Rita, I mean, you are a very strong woman. You have built all the muscles you can build, I guess. But that doesn't mean that you have had your share of tough challenges. When did life hit you really hard?
A few years ago, my father was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it wasn't a good diagnosis. And so, you know, it's very challenging when you're young and your dad is suffering. You know, I've seen my dad cry twice in his entire life, and that was one of the times. He's a tough Italian, you know, he wants to kind of the patriarch of the family. So that I remember my training getting me through the emotions, and just like Maria, it was like fight or flight. What do? I just lay back and, you know, smoke a pack of cigarettes and let you know, like she said, the sugar is immediate response for feeling crap for days, whereas training provide strength physically, mentally, emotionally. And I already knew that. I knew that my tools were there and I just had to take them out and use them. And that helped me get through that, right? And then I went through years of infertility, 10 years of infertility. Now I have a 2-year-old son who's the most amazing little miracle.
That's beautiful.
But so many times in that journey of why me, God, why don't I get another child? Everybody, you know, you give 10 children to the women who don't want them, who are aborting or who are doing this and do that. Why me? I want this child, right? So I had my times where I binged, I overate, I smoked a pack of cigarettes, I did whatever, right? And I realized, like, how does this make me feel, right? This doesn't help anything. And so when you realize that these negative things don't help anything, and when you know that this situation can't be changed, at least treat yourself right. This is what I say. Your body is not a dumping ground for your issues. And everybody, not everybody, because I hate generalizing, many people treat their body like a dumping ground. Your body's a temple, right? So when you start to kind of make that mind shift change to my body deserves the best. She produced a child for me. She gets me out of bed every day. She allows me to... What your body looks like isn't important, but it is also the temple to your soul. And if you want your soul to be clothed in beautiful clothing and a beautiful temple with, you know, all of these adornments, then you need to treat that temple properly so that your soul can live longer. It's not about the skinny jeans at the end of the day or what we look like. So I made that shift during all of these challenges in my life, 10 years of infertility, my father's cancer, my own cancer diagnosis 2 years ago with stage 2 melanoma. I saw my life flash before my eyes. I thought I was going to leave my husband a widower and my children alone, and I could not handle that. And the only thing that can get you through that, that's not in my control, whether it was my time or not. The only thing that got me through the emotional state was my training and the proper foods. And in And it wasn't that bad. Mm. It wasn't that bad at the end of the day. It was just, okay, deep breath. Mm. Let's get the endorphins. Let's feel good today. Mm. And tomorrow we'll wake up and we'll just do it again.
Mm. One day at a time.
The rest is in God's hands. Mm. Mm.
Mm. This really speaks to me. And this is what I love about your writing, Maria, and your writing, Rita, that you talk about the holistic way of living and caring about yourself.
And also, I think one of the things that's been very important to us, or many, it's been, apart from having all the facts and the best inspiration, it's to be non-judgmental. Mm. Mm. Nobody needs to read this, but we hope to inspire everybody. Do you see what I mean? So it's like we're not telling anybody else what to do with their lives. This is
in Swedish, inga pekpinnar.
Inga pekpinnar.
That's very important.
Yeah. We have a very good expression, Rita, in Swedish, we call pointing your fingers, like pointy fingers, like being this finger wagging. We have no finger
like
wagging.
Do's and don'ts.
Yeah, do's and don'ts. Oh. And I think people are smart, people are mature, and if they haven't found what they're looking for, yes, it's because they haven't had the tools or the time. So that's what you can do. You can give inspiration, you can give the wise, you can give the house, and then it's up for people to decide if it's the right time for them.
Mm. Yeah. So let's dig deeper into the Health Revolution 12 Weeks program. This program has four parts. The first one is about leading yourself. How do you do that? Let's talk about this. Personal leadership is quite a trendy way of looking into how you can fulfill your dreams and everything. Have you always been leaders, Rita?
I don't, what's the definition of a leader? Is it going first? Is it chartering unnavigated territories? Is it showing up even when times are hard? Mm-hmm. Is it going against the status quo? If it's all those things, then I would say yes. It was something, I believe that there's sometimes something innate inside of you that you're born with.
You
and you can either grow it or lose it. So I'm not saying that everybody who's born with it continues to be a leader. Mm. Other people have to work really, really hard, but anybody can become a leader. And leading yourself, I believe, is the hardest.
It's the biggest thing. It's the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
Mm. And we have another Greek, I think it was Plato, said that he had only one commandment, one finger wagging. Mm. It was know yourself. Mm. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Mm. So it's like the only thing we need to do in life. There are no other commands, because everything else comes from that.
Nobody else can do it.
And nobody else can do it. Nobody else can know what stresses you. Mm. Nobody else can know what trigger foods you had. Nobody else can know what you feel. You have to be responsible for it all. Mm. It's the biggest task.
So how can you train yourself in leadership, personal leadership?
Yeah, we are presenting a couple of strategies. Also, I need to say it's important, because one of the things that I learned while working with Rita was that you can have all the knowledge in the world. I mean, you really gave me a few things that I didn't know before, but kind of setting it together with how I worked, that was the big thing. So understanding that you can have all the knowledge you want to, but if you can't manage your own thoughts and your own goals and figure out strategies, that knowledge doesn't mean anything. Mm. Means diddly squat. Mm. So that's why we start in the book with leading yourself. Mm. So we're trying to share what has worked for us, really.
Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing in terms of acknowledgement and repetition. So I don't know how to get this thought out of my head that I was born to be fat. I was born, these are my genes and I can't fight them, right? Mm. Well, if you daily create a mantra of I deserve more, I'm meant to be my optimal self, and you repeat that every day, you start to believe it, right? Your body listens to your mind. Your mind is the most powerful tool, which is why we did a whole section on mindset That's what this is. Self-leadership is mindset. So when you repeat a mantra every day, your body starts to believe it. Mm-hmm. And I think people think this is really woo-woo, like, oh, you say to the universe, I want a gold car, and a gold car shows up. Mm-hmm. No, but you repeat this to your mind and your body, and you start feeling it, and then that turns into actions, mm-hmm. and those actions turn into results. Mm-hmm. So when you start saying to yourself every day, I need optimal health, I deserve optimal health, I am optimal health, and even talking to yourself in that future self, and I know we're going to talk about that, but how do you see yourself? How do you envision yourself? If you start talking about that in the present, then you start creating this plan and you take the action steps to do that. And that happens with repetition, practice. You know, that saying, practice makes perfect. Perfect doesn't exist, but practice every single day. You lift a weight up every single day. You don't grow a bicep muscle by doing five reps. You do it by doing five reps today and five reps tomorrow and five reps the next day and five reps the next day. So I think repetition is a really crucial part to leadership in changing the mindset.
And I love this part. You suggest that you should start to write a letter to your future self.
Did that resonate with you?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Why is this a good idea?
Well, to see yourself, who you could be with ease and grace. And the thing is with this letter, it's not through fight. Do you see what I mean? So this is like your 2.0 version of yourself that is coming to you very easily. And you're just like Hippocrates, you're going in that tunnel under the earth and coming up the other side as this person.
Yeah, and I think so many people write goals out, like, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to look good in my dress by summer. I want to do this. Those are all good, but they don't reach your core. Because if you don't lose the 10 pounds, what does that mean? You're not any worse than you are now. But when you sit down and take pen to paper, number one, which is so important in terms of achieving goals, and you start writing emotionally, like, we're not saying just write down, I want to look like this. No, we're talking about, what does it smell like? What do your smells, what does it look like? How are you feeling in this new body? How do you feel? How are your relationships with the people around you? You know, when I wrote the letter for the book, I did my own version. I was crying, right? Because it has to make you cry. Cry or laugh. Well, I don't care, but it has to provoke emotion.
Can you give an example of what you wrote?
Oh, yeah, something like, you know, I hop out of bed, you know, I hop out of bed with a smile on my face, and I'm greeted by my beautiful family in the kitchen where we embrace each other and, you know, the water's in front of us and we're all at peace and we, you know, we go for a walk together and I feel light in my body. And when I'm at the beach playing with my son, I no longer feel that I don't belong there, that people are looking at me, that I don't belong to be in a bathing suit, but I embrace the feeling and the joyness of running on the beach with my son. And so that's not about 10 pounds or 5 pounds. And when you can write that letter to your future self of how you envision your life and you keep reading that throughout your journey, that's what's going to keep you going, because it's going to get tough. So it's almost like we say your why. What's your why? And if you don't know your why, it's so easy to throw in the towel.
You're going
to
get lost.
So easy to eat the toast and eat the cookie and drink copious amounts of wine because it's not instilled in you. You don't know what you want, right? So I think that letter is so important.
What about you, Maria?
Well, it was easier for me in a way because I was older when I started. So I came from pain. Pain is a huge motivator. And I am finding, you know, I turn 61 now in a couple of days, and a lot of friends my age are aching everywhere. That is a huge motivator. So just envisioning myself without pain. And that's my biggest motivator. So I kind of, I don't even need the letter because I'm like, do I want to be in pain or not? No, I don't. Okay. I'm envisioning, I'm going under a tunnel, I'm envisioning myself without pain. And the thing is that if I don't look after this health style, 5-6 days, the pain starts seeping back. So I know, yeah, I keep up my pain this way. It's a huge motivator. So I was blessed by my pain. You know, the Chinese have a health saying is that we wish you a small ailment. like a minor health problem mm-hmm. that you can fix because mm-hmm. that'll keep you on your toes mm-hmm. a little bit mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. And I got that. So that can be that. But, you know, it can be about being balanced, not being emotional all the time, mm-hmm. not being a victim to everything, mm-hmm. feeling you have control over your life. It can be about energy. Mm-hmm. It can be about being pain-free. For some, it's the weight. For some, it's another health issue, like skin problems mm-hmm. are huge inflammatory diseases. They usually get better with mm-hmm. this diet. So anything that kind of you want to change in mm-hmm. your life mm-hmm. can be helped by this. And so, Rita, you have written a lot about the letter. And we also have some other followers of your program who have written their letters mm-hmm. and it's different. And then we also talk about, which has helped me a lot, and that is starting to understand your inner chimp. We've talked about the chimp before in the mm-hmm. pod. Mm-hmm. It's the old emotional parts of your brain where your impulse to overeat comes from. Because on the savannah where we lived most, 99% of humanity's lifetime, food was very scarce, movement was abundant, so the instinct was whenever you saw something that had sweetness or fats, you would eat as much as you could in a quick time and you would move as little as possible because you had to move all the time. Mm. So we have that in ourselves. That chimp is constantly kind of fighting our modern time. To start understanding, and me as a biologist, this evolutionary aspect, to understand, you little bugger in there, I know what you want from me. You want me to sit on my ass and have cookies. Yeah. and to understand that. But that I also have a human, the modern parts. And so we're giving a lot of chimp human strategies mm-hmm. and supporting people in identifying their mm-hmm. own chimps, because it's going to be, they're going to set their goals with a human. Mm-hmm. Everybody mm-hmm. has a very wise human. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the chimp who kind of freaks out, goes, emotional, starts feeling shame, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
So how to deal with that. So we try to give many different strategies and hope that people can, you know, pick something that works.
I love
for
that,
them.
The chimp paradox that we have talked about.
Yeah, the chimp paradox.
The
we've talked about that. Yeah, and your chimp was, what was her name again?
Christel.
Christel. She has a chimp
too. Christel.
Yeah, Christel.
And also as a publisher, I love that you encourage people to write, because that's so important. And you say that goals that you don't write down is just hopes. That's
you can just say, you know, I'm gonna go to Sweden one day, right? Well, that's a wish. Mm. That's a hope.
Yeah,
that's not a goal. Mm. A goal is, I'm gonna take this piggy bank. I'm gonna start putting $10 a day in it, and by next August, I'm gonna go to Sweden. I'm gonna write it down in my calendar. Mm. I'm gonna go and write down all the, you know, how much money it's going to take. I'm going to calculate it. I'm going to put my pen to my paper. And then you create a roadmap. Mm. You can't get somewhere without a roadmap. Otherwise, it's just, this is just going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of people have hopes and dreams, but until they actually put the pen to the paper, that's the first step. I think the percentage, it's like 70-something% of goals that you write down will be achieved over like 2% of not writing it down. It's a crazy, it's so simple. We can all do it. We can all take a pen or a paper and we can just do it.
So also I think that it helps you start thinking about, you know, how do you eat an elephant in small chunks? So that's the roadmap. So I want to have a totally healthy lifestyle when it comes to food. No, not, you know, that's too big. That's the whole elephant. So start by a small chunk is like, how could I have 4 different vegetables every day? That's a goal. I'm going to have 4 different vegetables every day.
And you write that down. Write what those 4 vegetables are, and you give the list to somebody to go by, and you take the action.
So aim big and set out for your dream big, basically, and learn to control your inner chimp. And then we come to part 2 in the book, which is food and nutrition.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Denna vecka har vi ett betalt samarbete med Bosch som precis har kommit ut med sin nya köksmaskin serie 6. Och jag har ju alltid älskat att baka och har tänkt att jag vill baka lite oftare eftersom det gör mig så glad. Och nu har jag hittat ett sätt som gör det både enklare och smidigare.
Vad kul! Och vad ska du baka för något?
Ja, men igår så testade jag att baka bananbröd som jag gillar väldigt mycket eftersom det även är ganska hälsosamt. Jag hade i valnötter och inte så mycket socker som det står i receptet. Och först tänkte jag att det skulle vara krångligt att baka med en bakmaskin, för det har jag aldrig gjort innan. Och jag skulle sätta ihop olika delar, trodde jag. Men så var det inte, utan jag känner redan att serie 6 är en pålitlig vän i köket, för det var faktiskt väldigt enkelt.
Ja, vi är ju lite lika där, Karina. Tycker ibland att det är jobbigt med för mycket bruksanvisningar av teknisk karaktär, men den här gången var det kul.
Ja, Bosch serie 6 är en väldigt snygg och cool köksmaskin, bara en sån sak. Den levereras ihopsatt och det är inte svårt att förstå hur man ska komma igång. Jag håller fortfarande på att utforska alla funktioner och automatiska program. Bland annat så har den smarta sensorer som gör bakningen enklare genom att den känner av när det du bakar har perfekt konsistens. Och därtill så har den en unik 3D-mixning som efterliknar handknådning och fångar upp alla ingredienser så att inget lämnas kvar i botten av skålen, vilket ju kan vara irriterande annars. Ja, jag får återkomma lite närmare till just den funktionen när jag bakar bröd nästa gång. Eller om jag ska baka kanelbullar, det var ju länge sedan.
Jag vet ju, det gillar ju du, det är ju väldigt gott. Och det här med 3D-mixningen låter ju väldigt spännande. Hur ofta funderar man inte på om degen verkligen blir genomarbetad när det står knåda väl i receptet, eller hur?
Ja, precis. Och för mig är det viktigt att det är enkelt att lyckas med bakningen för att jag ska liksom dra igång ett bakprojekt. Och jag tycker att serie 6 gör bakningen ännu mer lustfylld genom att den är så enkel att hantera. Det gäller bara att välja program och sen kan man luta sig tillbaka medan maskinen gör jobbet. Eller varför inte fixa köket medan degen knådas?
Låter perfekt. Bosch nya serie 6 finns att köpa redan nu hos Power. Och där kan man även få mer info om köksmaskinen. Och vi återkommer snart med mer inspiration och berättar hur det går med Karinas vårbakning.
Food is medicine, you just said. And this is so exciting because you have found so much new research on healing food, food that will optimize your health journey. What kind of food, for example? Vegetables, of course. Yeah. But so
we have basically two categories of food. Some foods you need to boost, you need to have more of. And they are in the category of all the vegetables, all the fiber-rich, polyphenol-rich, the berries, the herbs. Mm. They will lower your inflammation. And you will have the omega-3-rich foods. Mm-hmm. So they are the nuts. Mm. They are the seeds. That's the fatty fish. Mm. And then we have the probiotic-rich foods. And then we have everything you need to do. You need to lower your blood sugar. Mm. And that a lot of people think an anti-inflammatory lifestyle is adding turmeric to your food, like, and then eating like
normal
on an everyday basis. Yeah. But so actually the most important thing is lowering this fluctuation in blood sugar. And mm-hmm. you do that through a couple of strategies. One is the protein, having mm-hmm. more protein. One is having the good fats mm-hmm. because that'll lower your GI nivån, mm-hmm. GI level. Mm-hmm. And then you need to lower the white sugars. Mm-hmm. So we use those strategies to balance the blood sugar because high constant fluctuations will give you those inflammatory peaks, which you don't want to have.
Mm. And it's almost going to tell you, go eat the chocolate, go do this. Mm. It's like it's your little negative devil.
Give an example of your favorite meal.
Mine always starts with, so when I create meals in my house, it starts with, what protein am I going to have? So I start with the star, you know, the queen, the main. Whereas I think a lot of people start the opposite. What's for dinner tonight? Pasta, rice, potatoes, right? They start with the comfort foods. They're tired. It's a long day. What am I going to eat first? But when you start with the protein and you realize, okay, then you have fun. Then you look, why do I feel like spicy food tonight? Do I feel like Indian-ish, you know? And then you use those different spices. And Maria's done a great job at helping me, you know, do these things is create those flavor profiles with the different spices and herbs. So if it's salmon, your salmon doesn't have to look like a piece of plain salmon. I feel like something spicy tonight. We'll add pink peppercorns. We're going to add this. We're going to add that. And then what vegetables are in season? I always ask myself that. Mm-hmm. And what's going to complement this salmon? You know, green beans go really well with salmon or this or that. So I like to... my favorite dish is probably fish. I'm a huge, some kind of seafood or salmon, something like that, with lots of rainbow around it. So whatever's in season, you know, I love tomatoes right now. We've talked about that before. So tomato basil salad with olive oil and capers and as many flavor profiles as I can get in my dish.
So good. And you, Maria?
So I kind of end up with the same food as Rita, but I attack it from another side. So I'm a huge vegetable and spice person. And I just did DNA test and I found that I'm almost 30% like Jewish, both Ashkenazi and Sephardic, like the Northern African in me. And I've always felt like when I'm eating like Northern African food, like I am at home. So this whole land of cumin, land of coriander, land of smoked paprika, I'm like, shit, man, this is my home turf. And, you know, I'm a Swede, and that's like so weird. Anyhow, so I will usually begin by what veggies do I have at home and what can I fix with those? And then I will have a good big chunk of protein on the side. But I very often end up with fish. I love fish. But what I also do a lot, which I really, really love, is I just like 2-3 times a week, I make a huge pot of vegetable soup. And I have that with everything. So I will just boil in like stock, 4 veggies. That's my 4 veggies. And then I will boil that with bouillon and a bit of olive oil, bit of turmeric, and then I will put that in the blender just with a few almonds and some almond milk, and I get a creamy vegetable soup. It's nice with anything. You know, I can put broccoli, tomatoes, cucumbers, I could put leeks, carrots, herbs, spices. It just ends, you know, like.
And you can have it on the go.
On the go. I always have these vegetables that are cooked for me. And so that's very comforting. And then I just grill maybe some chicken with some green leaves together with. That's a perfect meal. So that's a quick, easy thing that I kind of do for myself. So my family is like, are we having vegetable soup again? That's like, and when people come here, they know they'll get vegetable soup. I'll cook one for us tonight.
That'd be great.
We love the smoothies too.
Smoothies especially if you have a sweet tooth, you know. It's like a milkshake. You just take a really great, you know, I like vegan protein powder. I like to get some plant-based protein in me and whatever berries, frozen berries, and you can throw some nuts in there and it's like dessert. I don't know how people just don't have them.
Once you change that palette,
smoothie way.
Once you've gone smoothie, you never turn back.
We will also learn more about tarmhälsa in Swedish, the gut health, which has been a topic of many books for the last 10 years, but you have found more and more research.
And it's so interesting. I mean, we've got about 2 kilos, which is about 4.5 pounds of bacteria in our stomach.
And there's about 10 times as much bacterial DNA than our own DNA in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And they used to be seen like, why do we have all these little buggers in our guts? Nobody knew why. They were like, oh, maybe they're just freeloaders. No, they are either our best friends or our worst foes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the diet that Rita and I are talking about here will dope the race that is in your stomach, because it's a constant race between good guys and bad guys. Mm. So if you eat lots of fiber, lots of protein, lots of good fats, you will dope the race in favor of the good guys. Whereas if you have lots of sugars, high GI diet, you will dope the race in favor of the bad guys.
Mm. Such a good picture.
Yeah. And what will happen with the bad guys? So it turns out that the gut lining is a very important place. It's like a border control between two countries. Mm. You got a guy who's standing there and he has to pick out who is coming, who is a friend to this country. And who is just, you know, has been doing some shopping the other side. We're going to let that guy, of course, they're going to go through without hindrance. But then maybe once in a while, you will have a terrorist or somebody who comes with lots of weapons in the car, whatever. You need to stop that guy. Mm. So that gut lining is, when it's primed with the right foods, is excellent at this task. Mm. But if you have lots of sweets, you start letting in lots of bad guys into the blood. Mm. That's when you get inflammation. Mm. You get lots of terrorists. You get lots of weapons in your own blood system. Mm. That's when we get sick. Mm. And we destroy that intelligence of the gut lining with the sugary foods.
And with stress.
And with stress, you get that too. So we talk about the leaky gut, you know, the gut that leaks through the bad guys.
Yeah.
So the diet, the exercises, and the stillness that we advocate is actually helping your gut lining and doping the race in your stomach to make it kind of give a picture.
And you're encouraging the readers, the listeners also, to try everything out and evaluate.
Yeah,
go because with this is personal stuff.
Yeah, Rita is very good with that.
Yeah, I like to really ask people, like everyone says, oh, I have to go gluten-free. Well, no, you don't. Mm. If you are not intolerant towards gluten and it doesn't affect your body and you're fine with it, then you're okay. Mm. And a good way to know, because a lot of people have so many issues, you know, when they start on their journey, they're like, I don't know what's creating this. Well, let's remove the number one things, dairy, gluten, you know, inflammatory foods, the seed oils, things like this that are highly inflammatory. We remove them for 30 days. And then you start to feel good. And once you feel good, it's easier to realize what was bad. So then you just reintroduce. I call it a reintroductory diet, where you do one thing at a time. Mm. And when you feel that bloating, that gas, that lethargy, then it's that. It's easier to pinpoint what it is. A lot of time it's gluten. It's not all the time. Mm. Some people handle dairy really well. So we have dairy and healthy dairy in smaller amounts. You know, goat cheese tends to be less inflammatory than cow and things like this. So we just find what's best for you. It's a very personal journey. But a good way to start is to say, okay, normally these are the things that are going to affect your gut. Let's start by eliminating those. And then bringing them back in.
We'll see.
Even me, I know that I can't do ice cream. It just it creates bloating apart from the sugar and everything. It just, once in a while, I make the decision, CEO of my own body, to have an ice cream, take a digestive enzyme, and just plan on, you know, scaring my husband out of bed with the beautiful smell that comes out. But that is my own choice.
Oh my God.
That is my own choice.
And it's the same.
And it happens once in a while. It happens every time, yes.
And it's the same with vegan ice cream. You can find a lot of choice.
I just don't love the flavor. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, once every 2 months, I'm going to have that. But otherwise, I have a vegan smoothie.
We call it going with the gut feeling.
Yeah,
because you have a lot of intelligence in the gut. And, you know, if you're cut in the hand, that's going to be red and swollen and achy. Mm. And if you're inflamed in the gut, it's red and swollen and achy. Mm. And I know if I have ice cream just like you, and I love ice cream, like a pecan, you know, like a ripple, whatever.
Me too.
I'm there.
Me too.
But shit, my stomach aches after. Mm. So
I'm going to tell you about a vegan ice cream that I love.
Oh,
maybe it's maybe the solution.
Change
the
over.
Solution. Okay. And
a
if
Swedish
I have,
brand.
If, you know, a big plate of pasta that my gut feeling tells me it's not good for me. Mm. So,
And then we have the power of fasting. Fasta.
Yeah.
We have recorded a few episodes about this. Yeah, and this is, of course, an important chapter of the book.
Yeah.
In short, what is it about fasting?
It's an ancient answer to modern day stress. So if you look at our current situation, we want to do more in our 24 hours. Mm. And it's almost like a badge of honor. We talked about this before. Mm. So the more I do, the more I accomplish, the more I am. So I get up earlier, so I can clean the house or get my workout in before the kids. So you're getting up at 5 a.m. I'm staying up later because I want to finish this email. I want to do this. I want to do that. So what happens is usually you eat in your waking hours. So if you're up at 4 a.m., like my husband, then you are having breakfast at 5 a.m. And if you're staying up late, you're sitting on the couch watching a movie at midnight, you're chewing on popcorn or gummies or chips or whatever it is. So what has happened is, Our normal day society used to get up and have breakfast at 9 and have dinner at 5 and then that was it. So there was a natural fasting in our bodies. Fasting wasn't needed, but now it's needed because people are eating at all hours of the day.
Yeah.
And with, you know, Uber Eats or whatever companies you want, midnight snacks and this.
7-Eleven, everything is open. You want to buy groceries at 10:45 in the evening?
You can. Sure. Before, no. Like when my Nona was alive, it was like, okay, this was dinner. When the kitchen's clean, you do not enter the kitchen again. There's no takeouts. There's no apps to send a donut to your door, right? So now it's easy for the consumer. And what we're trying to teach is that just getting in the habit of closing, shortening that window. And you can do this in many ways. And we talk about this in the book. So pick up the book if you want to see how it fits you best, is just shortening that eating, feasting window and just lengthening the fasting window. Everybody fasts when they sleep, hopefully, unless they're,
yes,
you know, eating in bed, but they're fasting when they sleep. And I'm hoping most people are sleeping between, you know, 7 and 9 hours. That's a fast. That's so great. So we just want to open that fast a little more. So maybe the first hour before you wake up, you hold off on breakfast, you have an extra water, you stretch your body. And then maybe that hour before bed, you don't consume anything. So the longer you fast, obviously, the better. There's different ways of fasting we talk about in the book, whether it's a daily fast like both Maria and I do, or if it's a weekly fast. So when you look at your overall week, if you even just fast on one day a week, you just don't consume food for 24 hours, you can drink water, drink teas, drink, you know, even broths are great. Then you're really allowing your body, like Maria said, you know, if you have a wound and you keep sticking your finger in that wound, it's never going to heal. But if you allow it to breathe and be on its own, it will start healing itself. Our body is so powerful. And by allowing that gut to heal, and there's so many other benefits of fasting aside
gut health. You write a lot about that. Yeah, the brain benefits.
Yeah.
So you basically give your body a break.
It's youth hormones. It's brain growth. So I mean, they're enormous. And we have done pods about the ketone switch, but there is more about that in the book. But actually the nutrients that are produced from the liver for the brain fasting, they're called the ketones. They were in olden days seen just as a byproduct, but they're turning to be very beneficial for you. And also, I mean, people have always fasted, you know, our ancestors. You come from Canada, we come from Sweden. I mean, in the winter, there was so little food. And we have mechanisms for dealing with this. Never before in history has humans been loaded with food all the time. Never. But it's interesting because when you told me to try this out, I was a semi-bulimic, sort of my teenage years. And that what saved me was establishing a very clear breakfast routine. Like no matter what I had eaten the day before, I would always have breakfast and that would normalize the day. So I was afraid, like the breakfast was my anchor. And if I would let that go, I would be like out on the rocky ship again. But it's the other way around. And I did what you told me. I kind of just stretched a little bit, you know, instead of having breakfast at 7, I started having 8. And then maybe I would go to work and start having 9:30. And then, you know, and you have started too, Karina.
Yes.
How's it going?
It's going well. I'm not doing it every day, but maybe 2-3 days a week.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah.
Do you like it? Yes, very much. I also think it can be very stressful to have a breakfast in the morning, at least when you work. So it's
takes a
benefit.
A factor of stress away.
Yeah,
it's great when you travel, for instance, because you don't have to get up earlier to have that breakfast before you just get going.
Just go.
And you can still have coffee.
Yeah, you always can have coffee.
Coffee always.
So part three in this amazing book is, of course, about movement. This program is not going to be easy, but you two will coach the readers all the way from the first page to the last. What kind of exercise will you focus on?
Resistance training. The one that most people resist. Yeah, I mean, our bodies are, you know, if you look at my two-year-old son, he's never lifted a weight, but they're muscular. When you look at babies, you see their muscles, right? And it's because as we age, the muscles are the first thing to start to decline. And so by creating a routine that incorporates resistance training, whether that's with your body weight, with bands, with balls, with kettlebells, with whatever you want it to be with, you're maintaining or hopefully growing that muscle mass in your body, which number one, when you have more muscle in your body, you have less inflammation, less adipose tissue. Mm-hmm. Number two, it helps with posture. It helps with your structure of your body. It helps structurally, even if you don't want to look a certain way, it's going to help maintain the house, right? That temple that we talked about. It increases your basal metabolic rate so that you're able to eat more at rest, essentially, right? The more muscle you have on your body, the more calories you burn. You're just putting more logs on the fire. You're stoking that fire. So resistance training, although I think a lot of women, maybe in Nordic countries, may believe that this is, oh no, I'm going to pick up weights. I'm going to look like a Hulk. I'm going to look like a bodybuilder. I'm going to look like this. Mm. It's not true. We don't have enough testosterone in our body. Mm. And when you see that woman at the gym that you're like, oh no, I just don't want that. She actually wants to look like that. Mm. And it takes hours in the gym. It takes some anabolic steroids, probably. It takes eating 20 times the amount of protein you would ever want to eat. That's dedication. For a woman to even put on 2 pounds of muscle a year, that's what normally is happening when people are training. So people shouldn't be scared of looking that way. Mm. I promise you that you will feel amazing. You will look amazing just by lifting up these weights and following the program. It's never not happened. Mm. You know, the thousands of women that I've trained and putting my own body through this and Maria's body is, it only gets better. Mm. You will never regret this by picking up your weights. Yeah.
True. Muscle magic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I think a very good concept, Rita, that you have introduced me to, because a lot of Westerners have a very fat-centric view of the body. They're thinking about how much body fat do I have? Mm-hmm. To go from that to a muscle-centric thinking, like start thinking, how much muscle do I actually have on my body? Mm-hmm. The rest will sort itself out.
Yeah.
So it's a, and because I like more, a lot this more than a
less. For you.
Yeah. This is my brain. Mm-hmm. So think about, how could I have more muscle on my body? And where would I like the muscle to be? Mm. And that also, as we talked about before, fits into the whole anti-inflammatory thinking. Mm. And it's a much more positive mindset rather than start thinking about
how much weight I have to lose.
Yeah, because what weight? Do you want to lose muscle weight?
Right.
And so this whole concept, and also because you said it's a very hard program. Do you know what? I thought that too when I started, but the muscle training, that was the easy part. Mm. Not that it was easy to lift the weights, but it was something very clear and distinct. I knew I would go like, the program would take me roughly 50 minutes if I was quick. Mm-hmm. That was that. It's harder with the food because it's an ongoing
all the time.
Dialogue. Yeah. Like, why should I have that cake? No, like ongoing dialogue. Mm. Whereas this is get the shit done.
And it's done.
And then it's done.
I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but that's individual.
But what if you don't like the gym?
Yeah.
Or don't have a gym close by?
That's a great question, but you can do this at home.
Yeah.
So we give people strategies and different workouts in the book to do in their home with or without equipment. Mm. Sometimes it can be a simple skipping rope and band and one kettlebell, and you can do this. You can definitely do this. And then I would invite you to...
We have a couple of YouTube videos coming out where we show some of the moves too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also,
and also a train. We have a YouTube video coming out showing like a program with no weights.
Yeah.
Which
do in your garden and your basement and your living room. I do that often. Like, I mean, because of coronavirus, Canada has been super strict with lockdown. Mm-hmm. It's been 8 months since I've been in a gym, but my body's still my body, and I still treat it every day, and I still move it every day in the basement. But I also invite people to think about, why don't you like the gym? So you said, okay, well, I don't like the gym. Why don't you like the gym? Have you ever been to a gym? Are you intimidated by the gym? Is it outside of your comfort zone? Because I would invite people to try because gyms aren't the gyms that they think they are. It's not a bunch of men walking around like, whoo, whoo, whoo. That may become your new community. Mm. You may be finding some friends there. Mm. I find by going to the gym, even in my darkest of days, even when I had the t-shirt, my husband's t-shirt and soccer shorts, and I had all the wiggly bits, I went to the gym because it was my place where I wasn't distracted by the home and the dirty dish over there and the mummy, mummy, mummy. And it was my place for me. Mm. And eventually it became, you know, my second home, my temple, and I met so many people there. And people at gyms are the nicest people.
Yeah.
And we're all together in the same thing. You don't know if that guy makes $1 million, if that's a priest, if that's, we don't know anything because everybody is sweating, working out together in gym clothes. And so it creates this kind of level playing field.
I totally agree. And the thing is, when I found this very personal gym in Stockholm, people have gave me hugs in the changing room.
So nice.
For the last couple of months. Right. And it's been, I mean, it's such a warm, personal feeling there. And so I think there is definitely a place for
we
for
all say
everybody.
In Canada, oh, my gym family, and that's my mom, or my gym boyfriend. Because a lot of people have a guy that they will spot them or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, that's to my gym boyfriend. And Daniel's like, you're what?
Yeah.
It's very normal to have a gym friend, a gym boyfriend, a gym family, and they do. They become, because you're seeing them more or less the same time. And so I'd invite people who think that the gym is not my place to at least give it a try. Mm.
So let's jump to part four. Maybe my favorite part, stillness. Often we forget this part, why it is so important, the importance to just switch off. Tell us about that, Maria.
So it's interesting because I think being active has very high status in our society. Mm. You and I come from a Lutheran society, and I mean, you're a Catholic, Rita, but in our society, people who get shit done are like high status people. Mm. Like when my husband comes home, he screams through the door without having seen it. What has happened since last time? Like, what activities have been performed? So that is high status, and that's how we move forward. And that's the sympathetic nerve system, which we in the book call the squirrel. And we love the squirrel. Mm. We go to the gym with the squirrel. We cook our meals with the squirrel. We get shit done at work. We look after our kids with the squirrel. So, and we sail to America, and we you know, we eradicate poverty with the squirrel. So the squirrel is great. Mm. But our bodies are made for also rest and restoration. Yes. So we also need the brother to the squirrel, which is the panda. Mm-hmm. And that's the other nerve system. It's the parasympathetic nerve system. And our bodies are made so, you know, when you have eaten, you feel a bit tired after. It's that switch going from the squirrel that has prepared the meal to the panda that is digesting. And the panda, it's an animal that sits still and chews on the bamboo, looks at the world a little bit like, oh, shit, there's that happening, but not moving around much, rest and digest. So we need to be in that land too. So we go to the gym in the squirrel, but the muscles are actually built in the panda. Mm. No muscles can be built in the squirrel. Mm-hmm. We make the food in the squirrel, but all the nutrients are absorbed in the panda. Mm-hmm. So it's this switch. And I think, you know, the Japanese have a beautiful expression. They have the yin and the yang with this symbol, and it's a circle together. So we need the whole circle.
Mm-hmm. They can't exist without each other.
Yeah.
Because if you're always squirrel, or if you're always panda.
No, no. So interesting.
Yeah. You cannot be a panda because then you're like
not accomplishing anything.
Yeah, yeah, just in the bed all day, probably starving because you haven't squirreled up any food or anything.
Right.
So Rita, how do you find stillness in Toronto, Canada, where you live?
So I live outside of Toronto, actually, but I live in London, Ontario, Canada, which is about 2 hours away from Toronto.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm looking for stillness. This is my hardest thing, I'll be honest, but I know it is. So like we've talked about before, knowing what your problems are is the first step, the acknowledgement. So I've been trying really hard. And I think the last 5 years of my life I'm a different person. All of the struggles and stuff have made me self-reflect. And that alone is this calmness. I would just kind of go through life like a bullet. I wouldn't even like look who I hurt, what I did, what I didn't do. It was just like vroom. Was,
a squirrel on steroids.
I was a squirrel on steroids. It was like, what's my next accomplishment? What's my? I remember being on the cover of Oxygen magazine, which for me was like 7 years of trying. So it was like this huge thing. Like, I just need this. I want this. I need this. I want this. It was like an obsession. And when I got it, I remember thinking, what's next? I didn't even celebrate it. Your body needs to feel this kind of like, exhale, acknowledge yourself, pat yourself on the back, pop a bottle of champagne, live in that moment. Then down the road, you can say, okay, what's next? You know, I don't believe in complacency. And it's almost my, you know, my double-edged sword that being complacent for me is like my number one arch nemesis. But it can also be bad because I never allow myself to just be, because we don't do that. We need to keep producing and you need to keep showing up. I need to have more badges on my sleeve, right? And when shit happens, like cancer, like deaths, like financial crisis, all that, you realize that shit, this stuff isn't important. It's the family that's important. You know, I just read something that Denzel Washington wrote the other day. He said, if you die tomorrow, your place of work will have you, your position filled within a week, but your family will mourn your loss forever. Beautiful. So, you know, so many of us are like, oh, I have to show up for all these people.
Yeah, this is so,
and then you forget your family.
Yeah.
So for me, I find stillness when I'm with Gabriel. And that might sound weird because he's a two-year-old crazy busy little boy, but he grounds me.
And
I play
and
with,
you're crying now. So,
I know.
So we can feel that this is, you have been struggling with this a lot.
Yes. So, but he grounds me. I'm with him and it's just like my heart rate goes down and he's like, because he's very calm in a weird way, but he'll just play with the wheel of a truck. Mommy, come here. Mommy, come here. Come see. And I have to get on the ground with him and I'm lying on the ground with him and then like an hour goes by. I'm like, oh, that was my stillness today. So I don't search for stillness maybe in the way Maria does. We had a crazy day yesterday. She said, I'm going to meditate. You know, I haven't reached that yet. I'm also 40. Maybe I will get there. I'm going to work towards that. But I find stillness in small pockets of my day. Sometimes I just go in the dark closet and close the lights for 10 minutes. No phone, no anything, and just breathe. I find stillness with water. I find water. So I do take, you think I'm going to shrivel up, but I take a bath every single day in Canada. And that's my stillness. So finding external factors that help me, whether it's my son or a bath or a dark closet, it's hard for me to find stillness on my own in a room with distraction, but I'm working on it.
I just have to add, when it comes to family, and I wrote about this a little on my Instagram a while ago after my husband passed, that one of his last words that he said to us in the hospital was family. So we have that, like me and my boys, we just say family and everybody.
Everybody.
We just know that this is it. Yeah. So don't forget that.
We're all crying now.
So we have
we give techniques for this too. And I just want to add here that, of course, everyone has stillness naturally during the day, which is the sleep. So we talk about the sleep.
Very
and
important.
It's a wonderful restorative mechanism that has also gotten like a low status, like everything with the panda. And I also have to make like a little bit of a feminist appeal here, because I think the whole squirrel thing, in the traditional Jungian terms, it's the male principle, it's the do. And that has been given high status in research. So cortisol research, stress research, heart disease, activity, that is so well financed all over the world. But everything that is related to stillness has been seen like the absence of everything. But we are starting to see now, with all the oxytocin research coming, that it's a country in itself. It's a beautiful country, and it is as rich and as encompassing in the brain as the cortisol system is the oxytocin system. So more research will come into that, but I'm thinking it's like, you know, the kind of nourishing principle has lower status than the activity principle. So I think this will change around, and we will start seeing the healing mechanism and also how we can activate oxytocin by feeling awe in our lives. By
Förundran.
And you're saying family. The biggest source of oxytocin is family. So it's not weird
that you feel stillness when you are with Gabriel. It's you are showering yourself with oxytocin, which is panda country. So it's the best strategy. And the best strategy to heal after your husband's death also is family, because it's a healing mechanism.
This book and this podcast is so full of fantastic strategies, and we now encourage you, of course, to buy the book Hälsorevolutionen.
You can watch the YouTube videos that are coming out too.
We hope you feel inspired. So just one last word, advice, tip from you before we release you listeners, readers, to set off on this 12-week program. Rita, how do we start? This is a lot to digest.
It is. It's a lot to digest. I think, I mean, in the book, we give those start here, then move here. And there's no rush. So some people may want to get through the book in 12 weeks, but we give lots of strategies for people to get through the book in a year. You know, there's no rush to get to the end because there is no end. And as I've found in my own life and working with so many amazing women, is that you find so much about yourself along the journey. And there is no destination. Once you get to that mountaintop and you see everything, you realize that there's more mountains in front of you. So you got to go back down through the valley and up to the next mountain. So there is no peak. And once you learn that, you realize there's no rush. There's no rush to get there. Just keep going one foot in front of the other. And we talk a lot about this in the book, that although it's a 12-week program, you don't get to the 12th week and say, all right, I'm done, back to my old ways again. You continue and you go back down, the back up, back down. And there's different peaks. But each time you get to a peak, it's higher. It's, you get a different view. You have new tools and new perspectives and a new vision of
that's
life.
Beautiful. And you find your own pace.
Absolutely. There is, everybody has their own pace.
Maria?
I think there are so many things, but one thing is there is a second chance for everyone. It's never too late. The race is not lost. Everyone has a second chance. And in the book, we also quote a Chinese philosopher who said, just like Rita said, nature never hurries, yet everything gets done. So we don't need to hurry. We can take one step after the other. And it's interesting because if they, in research, look at people who succeed at things, whatever, if it's a sport or in their career or whatever, it's not beauty, it's not intelligence, it's not money, it's grit. Being persistent, falling off the wagon, getting back again. More like you are with a child. Be that way with yourself. You know the child is going to have crap dinner one day, but then you get back the next day and have the carrots out there. You know, just be, hang in there. Hang in there.
It is. It's like when a child learns to walk. We encourage them when they fall. They never get up one day and run.
No.
Right? They crawl and they take their first step and they sit. Right? What if we said to those children, you didn't make it. You're going to crawl forever. No, we encourage them. Come on, one more step, one more step until they run.
Thank you so much, Rita, Maria, and thank you for writing this book. It's such a pleasure to talk with you. And tack alla som har lyssnat.
Ja, kul att ni ville lyssna. Vad tar du med dig från boken, Carina? Vad användbart?
Alltså det är så mycket användbart. Det här är en hälsobibel som man kommer komma tillbaka till om och om igen. Så att det första som jag sa inledningsvis som verkligen slog an hos mig, det var ju det här med att skriva ett brev till sitt framtida jag. Så vackert. Så att jag grät när jag läste det kapitlet första gången. Så det var ju en väldigt bra start att gråta då med det liksom. Och sen... ja, men sen att det är så tillåtande, att det faktiskt finns någonting för alla, lite oavsett vad man har för ambitioner med sin träning. Alltså alla vill vi ju må bra, men vi måste börja från olika utgångspunkter.
Ja, och det finns en tillräckligt bra nivå när man inte
hinner
med.
Man får lära sig så mycket, all denna spännande ny forskning som du serverar liksom på ett fantastiskt paketerat sätt. Det gör ju att man känner sig smartare också. Starkare och smartare.
Motiverad. Och man förstår varför. Inte bara tillsagd, för det hatar vi ju.
utan vi vill ju få tänka själva. Mm. Kul att du ville lyssna, och har du frågor om något innehåll, skriv gärna till oss, vi har ju e-mailadress.
Ja. Följ gärna Hälsorevolutionen podcast på Instagram. Vi har adressen @hälsorevolutionenpodcast, och du kan också mejla till oss på hälsorevolutionen@gmail.com.
Hej då!
Hej då!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.